All right. Welcome to session one of Get Growing, our series here on Wednesday nights. I can't tell you how excited I am about this series, and I'm so excited that you're here tonight and that you're tuning in online, or maybe you'll be viewing this at a later time. I think this is such an important series. I believe it can bear fruit now and bear fruit many years in the future. My prayer is that we would all grow as Christians. And I mean grow and grow and grow. And my prayer is that we would stay passionate about growing as Christians. And my prayer is that this series would be a help towards your personal spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, I want to thank you for salvation. I want to thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and rising again that third day, making it possible for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be saved. And Lord, I also want to thank you for transforming our lives, for rescuing us from the kingdom of darkness and putting us in your kingdom of light, for making us your people. And Lord, we want to be your strong people, healthy people. So I pray that you would teach us about that tonight, that we would learn things that we can immediately begin to apply. Bless our time together, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when a baby boy is born into this world, he doesn't stay a baby boy. He grows, right? He grows into a toddler, an elementary student, a teenager. He goes through puberty. He goes through adolescence. A baby boy grows into a fully grown adult man. Physical growth. That's what happens, or at least that's what should happen, right? That also needs to happen when you are born into the family of God. When you heard the gospel, when you responded to the gospel message, and when you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, at that very moment you became a child in the family of God. And you start as a babe in Christ. And you are not to remain a babe in Christ. You are to grow. You are to become a full-grown, mature Christian. And that is to be true of every single born-again Christian. That growth. It's a must. It's a necessity. Now, understand something about spiritual growth. It is not automatic. It's not like physical growth. You know, babies, they just grow. All you have to do is feed them, right? And the more they grow, the more you feed them. Physical growth can happen pretty much naturally. That's not the case with spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is not automatic. It's intentional. It's deliberate. It requires effort. It requires commitment. It requires cooperation. It requires discipline. And hear this very clear tonight as we begin. If you want to grow spiritually, then you must be actively and consistently engaged in the four foundational Christian disciplines of growth. You must be actively, consistently engaged in the four foundational Christian principles of spiritual growth. And we're going to go through each one of those principles in this series. Now, there is a very powerful and simple tool that we're going to use as we go through the series. You should have a copy of this with you. I'm going to put it up on the screen. It'll be up on the screen. We're also going to be posting this in PDF format at our website. This is a very special diagram. This diagram was actually developed by a wonderful man of God by the name of Dawson Trotman. Dawson Trotman became a Christian in his early 20s, and he didn't stay a babe in Christ, he grew. He grew rapidly. And as a worker in a lumber yard and a gas station attendant, he began sharing Jesus with co-workers and friends. And he led many, many people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he would actually spend one-on-one time with the folks that he led to Christ, and he would teach them the principles of Christian growth. This literally became his full-time ministry. In fact, in the 1930s was when he developed this diagram, and that's when he founded this ministry called Navigator's Ministry. It's been around since 1933. The Navigator's Ministry is still alive and working today, and it is a ministry that is committed to not just leading people to Christ, but growing them as Christians. So it's a ministry that teaches this through one-on-one, in small groups, in classes, in churches. There's a network in the Navy and all the different branches of the military. The Navigators is on universities. It's on high school campuses. It's all over the place. The folks committed to teaching this spiritual growth. Now, Dawson Trotman, as I said, he's an amazing man of God, but on June 18th, 1956, he was spending time at a church camp at Schroon Lake, New York, and he was ministering to college students or perhaps high school students, I forget the age group. On that particular day in the afternoon, they were having rec time, and they did some water skiing, and he was on a boat with several other campers. They hit choppy water. Both Dawson Trotman and a young female camper were thrown out of the boat. Dawson rushed to her aid and held her up so that she wouldn't drown. And in the process, he drowned. He gave his life holding someone up. Billy Graham spoke at Dawson's funeral and said of his last act of heroism, "Dawes died the same way he lived, holding others up." I wanted you to hear that story because I want to add weight to this diagram. This is the legacy of a great man. He developed and shared this with countless thousands of Christians, one-on-one, in small groups, creating discipleship networks in every sector of society. This is the little diagram that he would sketch out on paper napkins while he was having coffee with someone, teaching them how to grow in Christ. I'll never forget the first time I saw this diagram. I was 7 years old, and I had just gotten saved at a Billy Graham crusade. In fact, Billy Graham hired the Navigators to do all of his follow-up work at all of their crusades. It's so simple, and this is a diagram that I've actually sketched out on paper napkins as I'm at a coffee shop sharing these truths with others. And my hope is that when you get to know this, one day you'll sketch it out on a napkin and share these timeless principles with others. Okay, It's such a simple diagram, but please understand that every detail is meaningful. It's intentionally meaningful. Now, there's three details that I'm going to point out tonight in session one. And the first detail about this diagram is the most obvious. It's a wheel. Can you tell? It's a wheel. A wheel is used to illustrate spiritual growth. A wheel implies moving. It implies progress. It implies growing and moving forward. And please understand that spiritual growth in your life requires action. It requires you moving, you continuing. In fact, the label of the wheel is the obedient Christian in what? In action. And I would even say this, spiritual growth as a Christian must be constant action. As a born-again Christian, you are to continue growing. I sort of like to look at this wheel as one of those skinny bike wheels. And let's say it's detached and it's just sitting here. If it's still, does it stand up? No, it falls over. You gotta keep it going to keep it up and moving forward. My brother and sister in Christ, your spiritual growth is to be constantly in motion. When you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ and you become born again, you immediately start growing. And you continue growing until you become mature. And guess what happens when you become mature? You keep growing. And you become more and more mature. Spiritual growth is to take place in your life till the moment you exit planet Earth. There is no coasting in Christianity. You're never to take a vacation. I heard someone actually say that once. I'm taking a vacation from Christianity. You don't do that. Spiritual growth is not limited to a 5-week class. It's not limited to a 4-year seminary. It's not limited to a few years. This is to be your whole outlook on life, that you grow for the rest of your life. Because I found whenever you stop growing, you go backwards. It's like pedaling a bike uphill. What happens when you stop pedaling? You go backwards. So understand that. Know that. If you want to grow, and all of us should as Christians, it's a lifelong deal. These words written by Paul the Apostle, Philippians chapter 3. He writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul the Apostle was one of the most fruitful Christians who's ever lived, and he wrote those verses at the end of his life. Did he ever lose his growth mentality? At the end, Paul said, "I'm growing. I'm pedaling. I'm moving forward." So, no matter how long you've been a Christian, Spiritual growth is to be a constant effort, a discipline in your life. Now, the other thing about the wheel, it makes moving easier. Man, it was a great day in human history when the wheel got invented, wasn't it? It makes things easier to move around. And understand that the disciplines represented on this wheel make it easier for you to grow. In fact, they make it easier for you to move forward. And in fact, they're the only ways that you can grow. I want you to notice each spoke. There are four spokes on the wheel diagram. You can't see, barely see my pointer. The top one going up is prayer, fellowship, the word, witnessing. Now, those are the four foundational principles of Christian growth that I spoke about earlier. Prayer, the word, fellowship, and witnessing. As you grow, those never go away. Growing as a Christian is always maintaining those disciplines. Prayer, word, fellowship, witnessing. So, you become a Christian, you start doing that. You do that until you become mature. What do you do after you become mature? You keep doing that. And you keep doing that until you leave planet Earth. Those things never change. Those are the ABCs. Those are the fundamentals of Christian growth. And it's important that you have all of those in your life. What happens if you're missing a spoke? What if you got one spoke, the Bible? What happens to your wheel? Does it move forward? No, it doesn't. It wobbles. And it's also very important that you try to keep these disciplines in a similar balance. So many Christians are long on fellowship. They love to drink coffee with other Christians. They love to spend time and hang out with other Christians. And they're long on fellowship, but they're real short on witnessing. What happens to a wheel like that? It wobbles. Some Christians are really, really long on Bible, but short on prayer. What happens to a wheel like that? It wobbles. So it's really, really important that if you really want to grow as a Christian, that you know that this is a long-haul decision and you engage in those four principles, those four disciplines, and you do everything you can to get them in balance in your life. The wheel. Constant motion. Okay. The next detail of the wheel I want to look at is the hub, the center of the wheel. I would argue that the hub is the most important piece of the wheel. Everything revolves around the hub, around the center. And it's by the center that everything is held together. Now, on your diagram, how is the hub labeled? What does it say? Christ. Real important. If you want to grow as a Christian, Jesus Christ alone must be the center of your life. the hub of your heart. Everything about you and your life should revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. He's center stage. He's front and center. You know, when you become a Christian, and all of us, we hear the gospel and we hear that Jesus is our Savior. And he dies on the cross for our sins and he rises again. And we receive him as our Savior. And so we should. He's our Savior. But if you're going to grow as a Christian, he also needs to become your Lord. Hear me. You're number one. Your master. The Lord Jesus Christ is to be the most important person in your life. More important than any other relationship that there is in our experience. No one's higher than Jesus. You know, the most important human relationship would be marriage. The relationship between a husband and wife. And you know, when a couple stands and they get married, it's a big deal. They're entering into the most important relationship. And the Bible says that they are to leave mother and father and cleave to one another. They become number one to each other in the human relationship realm. You should never bring mom into your marriage. Guys, wives don't like a mama's boy. Well, mama says this, or mama does it. Nah. You become number one to each other, and no one else is allowed into that area. Think of when you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you became a Christian. You married Christ. He becomes number one in your heart, the most important relationship in your life. You're to love him more than anyone else. You are to love Jesus more than anything that this world can offer. You know, a lot of people live a money-centered life. They get up every morning and they live for money. Their whole life revolves around money. Many people get up and they live their whole life around a career. Everything revolves around career. There are a lot of people that live their whole life in pursuit of a hobby or some activity, and their whole life is organized around that one activity. That's not supposed to be you as a Christian. Your whole life is to revolve around Christ. And by the way, you allow Christ to govern all your relationships. All your activities, your career, the way you use money. Very, very important step to spiritual growth. And here's the most important part of this concept with the hub. As a Christian, Christ is to become more important than you. You are no longer to live a self-centered life. You're to live a Christ-centered life. Now, that's not easy. Most people on this planet, they're living for self. They're self-centered. They're calling the shots in their life. They're doing whatever makes them happy. Most of the people on this planet are very comfortable with Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way." I live life my way. Christian, you're to live life Christ's way. He's the boss. You get out of the driver's seat, and he gets in. And you give him the keys. You give him the steering wheel. I've often heard it put like this: as a Christian, you should see your life as a blank check. And you give your blank check to Christ and say, "Spend me." any way you want. That's a really important step. Paul, the apostle, wrote these words in Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that's serious. As a Christian, there needs to come a point in your life where you present your body, your life, your intellect, everything about you, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You ask him to be the center. You surrender. And that's a really important step that needs to be taken in every single Christian's life. It's something that oftentimes happens sometime after you get saved, where you just have this moment where you say, you know what, I'm giving it all to the Lord. And then it's something that you should affirm day after day, week by week, giving Christ control of your life. Now, some of the greatest Christians in all of church history that grew and God used, they had that moment. George Mueller, when questioned about his spiritual power, responded simply, one day George Mueller died. D.L. Moody was visiting New York City when he consciously died to his own ambitions. Pastor Charles Finney slipped away to a secluded spot in a forest to die to self. Evangelist Christmas Evans, putting down on paper his surrender to Christ, began it by writing, I give my soul and body to Jesus. It was, in a very real sense, a death to self. Paul the Apostle wrote these words, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ. Jesus Christ is the center of my life. Such a crucial step. Now, there are a lot of Christians who struggle with this concept. They think, well, I don't want to give all of myself to the Lord. What if he sends me to Africa to become a missionary, right? Or what about the things that I'm going to have to give up? You know, I got all these things in my life. Listen, it's not like that at all. Christ is skillful with lives. Christ knows you best. Christ has good plans for you. In fact, Jesus said these words in Luke chapter 9. Words from Jesus. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Jesus said if you lose your life for his sake, you're going to save it. The idea is if you deny yourself, if you die to self, if you give Jesus the keys to your life, you're going to save it. The Lord's going to bless you. The Lord's not up there thinking, boy, I want to give you bad friendships. He wants to give you the best friendships you've ever had. The Lord's not in heaven saying, boy, I'd sure like to give you a bad marriage. He wants to give you the best marriage that you can possibly have. The Lord says, boy, I really want to give you a boring life. No, he wants to give you the most exciting life that you can have. And if you give every area to him, he'll touch it and he'll bless it. And you don't have to worry about it. And if he does send you to Africa, that'll be the happiest existence you could have. Because you know what? Christ built you. He knows you. He knows your talents. He knows everything that he wants to do in and through your life. And if you surrender, you'll find it. Give every area. You know, I did this many, many years ago. And it's been an adventure. I felt like the Lord wanted me to plant a church, and of course, I was thinking somewhere in California, maybe Hawaii. He sent me to El Paso, Texas. I got to tell you, I never even thought about El Paso, Texas. It never entered my mind. But the Lord sent me here, and you know what? It's become home. The Lord has blessed me with the wife of my dreams. The family of my dreams. A humble little home that I get to live in, and I love it. The best friends I've ever met, right here. The best relationships I've ever had, right here. I couldn't dream of doing anything else with this life that God gave me. He led me. It has not been easy. Let me tell you, when you follow the Lord, whatever he has for you, there will be issues that you have to deal with. There will be obstacles. But man, you're living. Some of you are afraid to give every area of your life because you're just afraid to do that. Don't be afraid. Let him take you. That's a choice. Will you choose to surrender? Will you choose to grow and let Christ be front and center? Okay, I want to look at one more detail tonight on the wheel. And this time we're going to look at the rim. The rim is where the work is done. It's where, quite literally, the rubber meets the road. This rim represents an obedient life for Christ. It means that you're going to choose to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ daily in every activity of life where the rubber meets the road. There are commandments that the Lord has given us that we're to obey. And by the way, this is directly related to him being the center. If he's the center of your life, then you're going to be willing to obey him in whatever he asks you to do. And there are commandments that we are to keep as Christians. In fact, there are commandments in the Word of God that govern every aspect of life, from dating to friendships to marriage, how we're to be husbands, how we're to be wives, how we're to be parents, how we're to be kids, how we're to work, how we're to deal with money, how we're to deal with conflicts. The Bible gives us commands concerning sexual purity, moral lives. The Bible gives us commands concerning things that we should actively do as Christians. And by the way, each one of those four disciplines, as a Christian, you're commanded to fellowship, to pray, to read, to witness. Deciding as a Christian, I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to live my life in obedience to him. Now, a word of caution, there is friction where the rubber meets the road. There's friction. The enemy doesn't like it when you obey the Lord. The world is completely against you in many ways as you seek to obey the Lord. In fact, we live in a day where it seems like the Christian lifestyle has become the most hated lifestyle. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if you obey him in every area of your life, people are going to hassle you. They're going to come against you. A lot of people are going to think you're weird. You're going to come under attack. Quite frankly, if you really, really obey the Lord, you might even catch slack from other Christians. Oh, you're too serious. There's friction. But understand that you have one master, right? And you obey him. Now, these commandments that the Lord has given us, man, they're for your good. The commandments that the Lord gives us, it's a very, very important part of spiritual growth. The scripture seems to indicate that as you're given light, as you're given information, you got to use it before you'll get more light. So as you learn and grow and obey, you'll learn more. Obedience to the commandments of Christ, they keep you safe. They keep you healthy. They keep you protected. Again, the Lord's not giving commandments to you to cramp your style, to take away your fun. He gives commandments to keep you safe. You know, if you told your parents growing up, hey, I'd like to go play in a busy street like Mesa, what would your parents say? No. But mom, dad, it's going to be fun. That's what I want to do. No, son, you're going to get hit by a truck. You won't go. The commandments that God gives you keep you from playing in the busy streets. And please understand that instead, God has this beautiful park for you to play in. Something where you'll be safe and happy and whole. The commandments of the Lord are beautiful. And again, you can trust the Lord in that area of your life. As a Christian, the only thing you need to find out in every matter of life is what would Jesus do, or what does the Word of God say? Find it out and then do it. Don't even question. There are wonderful promises associated with obedience. I love this. Jesus said, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." That's a special blessing. Jesus says, if you obey his commandments, he'll manifest himself to you. He reveals more and more of himself to you. You'll enjoy his smile on your life. And notice that the motivation for obeying the Lord comes from love. He who loves me. He who loves me will have my commandments and keep them. We read in 1 John, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." And get this, his commandments are not what? Burdensome. As you grow in Christ, the commandments that he gives will no longer be burdensome.
It's not like, oh, I have to do it. Because you'll love him. And he first loved us. See, we obey the Lord. We obey the Lord because he loves us. And we love him back. And it's a love relationship with him. Okay. Spiritual growth will be the greatest adventure of your life. Your personal relationship with Christ will become more and more alive. You'll grow more and more and more. Now, I want you to notice on your diagram, very quickly, look down at the left. Notice that this is called the volitional dimension. That's what I'm speaking of. That's a fancy word. Does everyone know what volitional means? It means a matter of relating to your will. You do things of your own volition. That's really important part of spiritual growth. Will you grow? Will you choose to do these things? Will you choose to spiritually grow for the rest of your life? Will you choose to engage in those four disciplines for the rest of your life? Will you choose to let Jesus be the center of your life? Will you choose to follow him in obedience to the best of your ability? Spiritual growth isn't for special elite Christians like Billy Graham. Spiritual growth isn't for people that go to seminaries. Spiritual growth is for anyone who wants it. Anyone. You don't have to be special. You don't have to get special training. You just have to be willing. Willing. Wanting to try. I pray that you'll be willing. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, I want to thank you that you want us to grow and you will help us grow. Lord, I don't know everyone's spiritual condition here tonight. I do know that you do, though, and you have big plans. And I pray that you would light a fire in our hearts to grow, to be consistent about it. I pray that we would see the beauty of that, the importance of that. And Lord, I do pray that we would learn those things that adds fruit to our lives now and for the rest of our life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I would also like to pray for anyone here or listening online. Perhaps you've never been born into the family of God. You haven't become the babe in Christ yet. That comes through faith in Jesus Christ. You need to come to Jesus at the cross of Calvary, who died on the cross for your sins and rose again. And you need to admit that you're a sinner, that you've blown it, and you need to invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. He'll come into your heart, he'll forgive you, he'll wash you, he'll make you brand new. And then you get to grow. If you haven't done that,
I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I place my faith and trust in you for salvation. Make me born again. Make me a child in your family. Save my soul. And then help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.